You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you want to be?
Where you want to be?
Tell me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
I'm running like a red disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science,
this call may be recorded math, or transcribed.
Architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're having a good day. You know, it is Wednesday, so you can get over that hump. So you can have a good weekend and you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And hoping that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not and it has to get done, it must get done. It will get done because you will do it. No procrastination there. That's right. Make it happen. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Kwaku. But, of course, you can also listen. Use a shortcut. Any search engine, you know, Google. What's the other ones? All the other ones. Even Bibi Atumi. That's right. Put in the search. BabaOshi.net. BabaOshi.net. And once again, programs that are dated and titled Firefox. You know. So, anyway. excuse me. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central. No, I just did that. All times are Eastern times. All right, on Mondays from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Maria Kamban, Dr. Kamal Kamban, and Nataki Kamban. Black Therapy Central from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, from 7 to 8, Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move. Friday, from 8 to 10, from 8 on, put it that way, just 8 on. Because, you know, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, they sometimes have to go over that. Good guests and good conversation. So they don't do it strict like from 8 to 10 like I do. Well, I try to. So from 8 until Time for an Awakening on Friday with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And once again on Sunday at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything, and I do mean everything, you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba. He's ready to take a group of our people to the motherland in a few weeks. That's a few weeks. About a month from now. It's November 17th to the 28th of this year. For $4,000. Tanzania.
Mount Kilimanjaro, Serengeti. Oh, beautiful, man. Tanzania. December 24th to January 5th, 2023, $4,000 to Ghana. March 30th to April 10th, 2023, $3,800, Senegal and Gambia. May 24th to June 5th, 2023, $4,000, Ghana. July 20th to July 30th, 2023, $4,000, Rwanda. November 16th to the 27th, 2023, $4,000, Tanzania. December 24th, 2023, to January 4th, 2024, $4,200, $4,200, South Africa. March 29th to April 9th, 2024, $3,800, Liberia. These are the trips that are upcoming. And like I said, my brother, it's going to be a great time. We're going to have a great time. And just go to the website, Africa for the Africans. Land is for sale. You can check out that. Investments into the country, various entities, and the Black Star Repatriation Program. Repatriate, go back home. Africa for the Africans. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. facebook.com/Bomani. You want to see videos? youtube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans.org. Habeshaw. Habeshaw Incorporated. Habeshaw stands for helping Africa by establishing Helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. And, of course, they got the programs that they have, the Akashi program. And that's what's happening in just a few. This weekend. It's this weekend, family. The 15th. That's right, this weekend. Very proud of what Habeshaw Incorporated is doing. And truly wait to see the pictures. And hopefully you'll just go to HabeshawIncorporated.org and see for yourself. Look what they've done. Look what they're doing. And look how you can get involved. And you can become part of, or you can get a chance to go to Africa. All right. All right. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. And, of course, they deal in the four areas of human existence that are so vital to human existence is food, water, clothing and shelter. You know, they have 12 projects in 6 countries, over 172 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, the LEDGE Group, the LEDGE Group. Abibia Tumi, ABIBITUMI.com, ABIBITUMI.com. Brothers and sisters, go to the website. They have sometimes this website just won't budge. But the official mobile app. The official mobile app is happening on BB Atumi. I'm asking you to go to BB Atumi, the new BBAtumi.com app. The Android or iOS apps are here. Send video messages, attachments, photos to Kemet Nu, which is us, African people. Join African powerful groups. Shop the BB Tumi store for physical and digital products. You know? Yeah. So send video, perhaps join Black Power groups. Shop the stores and physical digital products. Post status updates, PDFs, photos, videos, and much, much more. Go to Abibia Tumi, ABIBITUMI.com, Abibia Tumi official mobile app. Check it out. Smai Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY, Smai Pharmacy. Brothers and sisters, give Brother Jabril a call, okay, at 731 327 7321-327-6229. That's 731-327-6229. And I'm telling you, if you say, Brother Jabril, I really need some help. I want to develop a program for myself. I said, I'll help you, and he'll do it. Okay? Give him a call. If you want to drop him an email, maybe want to communicate that way, SMIFARMACY@gmail.com. Smy Pharmacy at gmail.com. The Jackson, Moses West is in Jackson, Mississippi. The machine is there. They're giving water to the people. You know, no, you haven't heard about it. A lot of things that we do, you may not hear about it. But to me, what they're doing is more important than anything else. Any bottled water that they can send, any truckload or whatever, is more important because it's showing the people, no, we don't have a water shortage. We have a problem with accessibility to clean water. Water that we can use to shower, brush our teeth. Water we can use to cook. Water that doesn't have to be boiled. They turn on the tap of the machine, the AWG, atmospheric water generator. They turn it on and you have clean drinking water right then and there. Brothers and sisters, he's not asking for investment. This ain't about investment. It ain't about a return on your investment. This is about donations. This is about giving. Whatever amount that you want to give annually, you want to give monthly, you want to give a one-time shot. The Moses West Foundation, brother. The Moses West Foundation.org. Moses West Foundation.org. And if you want to specifically go to the Jackson, you can /Jackson-water-rescue. Okay? All right. Yes, sir. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Brothers and sisters, go to Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta. excuse me. Right across the street from the Soul Vegetarian Restaurant. Up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, you know, in the West End, or near the West End Mall. That's where Wadada's is. Delicious smoothie and fruit drinks, all kinds of, and health food. It's a health food store. So there's all kinds of, you know, supplements that you can get, all kinds of good stuff. Check it out. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. You want to give them a call? Give them a call at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. Okay. The Medu Bookstore, Mama Nia, I got a couple of on Facebook that she sent out. She's having a book signing this Saturday from 6 p.m. to 7 at the Greenbrier Mall at the bookstore. Black Panther, Black Rage. Black Panther, Black Rage. A new author. I don't know who the sister is. Sister Cherie Renee Thomas. So check it out this Saturday from 6 to 7. There was another book too that she, I'm trying to find that one. I misplaced that one. But the Greenbrier Mall, give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. She had a calendar, a number of events. In fact, I want to get in on that calendar so I can go there and do my thing with that presentation on ancient Kemet. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good presentation. Even if I say so myself. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Give my good brother Gazimde Ajamu a call at 770-305-6373. That's 770-305-6373. He has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, just like everybody else. But he also has a coffee bar right there. He has a coffee bar serving delicious Cameroon boyo. But all kinds of good teas, man, yeah, pastries and so forth. Brother Gazimde Ajamu, Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. And now, you know, Lithonia is east of Atlanta off of I-20. But the next exit east of I-20 for Brother Kazimde is the new Black Wall Street Market, exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Make a right, go down three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Us lifting us. Us lifting us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night from 9 to 10. Thursday night broadcast from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. You can go online to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. Or you can give us a call at 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789, and you can listen on the radio if you want to ask a question, or you have a question, comment, or concern, and you can just, hit the cue, you'll be able to listen and give your questions or comments and concerns. That's us lifting us, the economic development cooperative for our people. Homeland Village, Brother Abijah is doing this thing there in Macon, Georgia, at the Homeland Village. They're open from Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. at 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. Give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Gift Shop. They have, they got everything. Everything. They even have a vegan restaurant. That's right. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. It's inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. For more information, contact Shirley Amonset at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Aidi. What a beautiful, beautiful work that Sister Gabby is doing in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Sanjay-Aidi. SONJEAYITI.org. The educational program, the health program, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship. Check it out. Sanjay-Aidi. Akabin Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Yah. Go to the website, or just if you want to do a donation, make your check of money out if you're old school like me. Check a money order out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But of course, they accept PayPal and Cash App. PayPal. Yahbaruti@yahoo.com. Cash App, the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Also, too, they have books, okay, at the Akabin House. Baba Baruti is a prolific writer. So, Akabin House, and you can order those books. The Kibuka, next month, November 19th from 5 to 9 p.m. The 19th, November 19th, Kibuka, remembering the middle passage through the eyes of our ancestors. Remembering the middle passage through the eyes of our ancestors. It's going to be at the Sweet Spot, located at 675 Metropolitan Parkway in Atlanta. The Sweet Spot. And of course, we'll have more information as that begins to come up. And so there that is. So I'm going to let me see here. The Inye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. That's what we want. The Inye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. October 11th. Anger is no substitute for consciousness. E. Jerome Johnson. People often become angry, disgruntled, and are confused when they do not get what they want or what they believe they should have. did a thing, a position, a response, a privilege, what have you. We often forget we are children of a universe which is so much wiser than we are. We receive what we need from it in accordance with its will, because often intellectually distance ourselves from the supreme power of this will in thinking we are wholly in charge. We become troubled when we don't get our way. While it is important to know that we should ask for what we need, we must bear in mind that it comes when we deserve and are ready for it. It comes when we're ready for it. And sometimes it comes in order to give us the lesson that we are not ready for it. It comes with the lesson that we're not ready. And sometimes, bearing this in mind, we should be careful about what we ask for, being sure we're fully able to handle the responsibility that whatever we ask for, what it brings. Affirm, the universe gives me all that I ask for, and I'm ready to receive it. Affirm, the universe gives me all that I ask for, and I'm ready to receive it. Yeah. October 12th, which is my daughter's birthday today. My youngest daughter. Yes, happy birthday, Nick. Nakia, I love you. Happy birthday to you. Back in June is my other daughter's birthday, Tacharin. Boy, I tell you. I'm a girl dad, for sure. October 12th, put your people before yourself. Let me repeat. Put your people before yourself. Forsake individualism for peoplehood. Me for us. Individual aspirations for community aspirations. Make the sacrifices necessary to struggle for your people. Zakando. Wittingly or not, we all rest on the shoulders. The question is, on whose do we stand? The answer defines our loyalties, visions, and mission. Sometimes students mistakenly, blindly believe that the shoulders that they should stand on belong to those who systematically overworked, tortured, and murdered their ancestors. To do so, is an offense against all African people. Choose wisely, for those after you will have to stand on your shoulders. Choose wisely. Affirm, I have chosen my ancestors' shoulders to stand on. Ashe. I have chosen my ancestors' shoulders to stand on. Stand on the shoulders of giants. Yes. Individualism, capitalism. I had a nice piece that I saw. Sometimes I wish I could save these pieces so I could play them on the program. You know? Yeah. Yeah, I tell you. Yeah. Ezra Iron of the Sovereign Psyche. There is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people who valued integration with their former captors to the point where they completely abandoned their superior wealth of their own homeland. I love like to hammer that quote home, because that's a good one. There is no other historical instance, no history at all, of a formerly enslaved people who valued those who enslaved them, those who captured them, those who probably exercised genocide on them, murdered them, to the point where they were completely abandoned, the superior wealth of their own homeland. Here we are, sitting on all these riches. Yes, I understand the dynamics. Some of us don't. And believe me, many of us blame ourselves without putting the blame where it squarely belongs on those who put us in this condition and those who want to keep us there. What that Caucasian Howard Nichols said was on point. We must make sure that the African does not begin to manufacture. That the African, we got to keep the African poor. We got to keep them as a beggar. We got to keep them under our control, looking at us while we continue to take their resources. We cannot allow them. Ain't that deep, y'all? Ain't that deep? That's why I'm saying we need to do this for ourselves. In our future, ain't nobody else going to do this for us. There's nobody's going to do this for us, family. You know, one day I have a number of good pieces in here that I've taken pictures of and off the internet and so forth. I'm going to go through this, pluck, see if I can find at least about 10 of them that we can make a program, because they're just good quotes. You know, they really are. They really are the good quotes. You know? Yeah. I have traveled across the length and breadth of Africa, and I have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country, such high moral values, people of such caliber that I did not think we could ever conquer these people in this country unless we break the very backbone of their nation, which is their spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient education system, her culture, for if the Africans think that all that is European and foreign is good and is greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them, a truly dominated nation. This is something that happened to us. It's not natural. This was done to us. And it's continuing. It continues to be done to us through all forms of people. Just like Francis told us, the European, the Caucasian, Urugu, white supremacy is in everything they do. All forms of people activity. In all forms of people activity, we have issues and problems as it relates to them. But we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to come to grips with it. I'm going to talk today about conspiracies. In fact, if you have some conspiracies, some ideas that you think there are, bring them out. Let's talk. Let's have a conversation. I know, hopefully, Brother T will call. Because, man, he sent me some stuff. Brother Paul, no doubt. Brother Kwaku sent me a piece I'm going to read. You know? So, yeah, conspiracies. Conspiracy theory. Well, you know my main one is 9/11. I don't think it's a conspiracy. It's a fact. It's a fact of what they've done. Ain't no conspiracy. You know? It is a fact. They did what they did. That's right. They did what they did, family. Man. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let me go this way. Can I go that way? Will that turn? Okay. Okay. I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture, united under one federal government, will emerge not just as another world power block to flaunt its wealth and strength and be a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear and envy and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on the hope, trust, I apologize, family, because I kind of get it off my pictures, but man, why y'all doing this to me today, man, family? That's Kwame Nkrumah. He said that at the, he said that in 1961, the speech of freedom. You know, Kwame Nkrumah was dynamic. He's just a really dynamic man. But he said this some years later. He said, if we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonization, a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. Man. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of the European, the nature of Urugu, their thoughts and their behavior, in order to understand the effects that the Europeans had had on our ability to think victoriously. To think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from their thoughts. Because our thoughts so that so we can visualize a future that is not dominated by the European. This is demanded by an African-centered view. Because why? We are African family. And because what the European brings is genocide. What the European brings us is genocide. Mama. I'm a marimba. As I said, man, that presentation she gave at the symposium for Baba H. Hilliard, Nana Beaufort, was just outstanding. It really was. It was outstanding. Yeah. I'm going to go over some of those that I've taken as conversation starters, you know? Conversation starters. We, if you want to get in a conversation, we're going to talk about conspiracies. You know, I'm going to read that piece that Brother Kwaku sent me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he has that news piece on this, what he sent me with Brother Moses and a gentleman from Mississippi. Yeah, it's working, man. It's on and popping. So he sent me this. It's definitely a forward, but check it out. Received from a credible source, Daylight Killers. The mask began to fall off. The Chinese biological laboratory in Wuhan is owned by GlaxoSmithKline, the drug maker, GlaxoSmithKline, which accidentally owns Pfizer. the one who makes the vaccine against the virus, which was accidentally started at the Wuhan biological lab, which has accidentally was funded by Dr. Fauci, who accidentally promotes the vaccine. Now, understand something. I believe this. I've seen this information before and before. Now, does it really make it real? Maybe, maybe not. But for me, what is rational? What is plausible? What is logical? That's how I deal with these so-called conspiracy theories and how it affects African people, how it affects us. GlaxoSmithKline is accidentally managed by a finance division of BlackRock, which accidentally manages the finances of the Open Foundation Company, George Soros's foundation, George Soros, which accidentally manages the French AXA. Soros accidentally owns the German company, Winterthur, which accidentally builds a Chinese laboratory in Wuhan and was brought by and was bought by the German Alliance, which coincidentally has Vanguard as a shareholder, who coincidentally is a shareholder of BlackRock, which coincidentally controls central banks and manages about a third of the global investment capital, BlackRock. Haven't heard of BlackRock and a few other names that they put out there, you know. But Kwaku sent me, when he sent me this today, sometime today. Yeah. This morning. So people were talking about that. I remember Rand Paul, you know, he tried to jam Fauci up at a meeting or a hearing, rather. Didn't go too well. But, I mean, for Fauci, is always deny. You know. When Fauci was talking about the AIDS virus back in the 80s and how he was stating it, I said, forget this dude. I don't like this cat at all. So my opinion of him was shaped at that time. And the fact that they were talking about population control, developing vaccines that can eliminate populations. Yeah. We already told you about the fear of a black planet. Dr. Francis Cress Welsing made mention of that. They fear genetic annihilation. It is something to me that is justified. I mean, I ain't saying what they're doing is justified, but what they fear is real. They are, those numbers of them are declining. That is real. A conspiracy, unlike what I just mentioned about them, that ain't a conspiracy. That's a fact. Their population has been dwindling. They have been into negative population for some decades now. They were only 10%, less than that, of the world's population. Europeans, Caucasians, Yorugu, whether they call themselves Australian, New Zealand, whether they call themselves, you know, Russian, Czechoslovakian, Yugoslavian, French, Greek, you know, whether they call themselves in this hemisphere, because even though the Spanish consider themselves from Spain on the continent of what they say, continent of Europe, they consider themselves European. consider themselves Caucasian. Now, granted, the Italians, the Spanish, and the French and so forth, being in the southern part of Europe, unlike the northern part, the Scandinavian part, where you got blonde hair and recessive eyes and very pale, they have more olive skin, but they still Caucasians. And believe me, they're down with Caucasians. They sure in hell ain't down with us. So that is not a conspiracy theory. They are dying. They are dying off. Look what happened when the virus first hit, whether that was a planned thing or whether, of course, the virus happened and it just spread willy-nilly. But they were hit hard, weren't they? Because they had populations that were old, and older populations have preconditions. And so they took a blunt hit to their population in Europe. Yeah. In fact, even before then, when that situation happened with Syria, there were refugees. And there were refugees that were welcomed in Germany and in Austria. They were welcomed because they have older populations and they needed young people to come in to do work, to do whatever type of work it might be that they need to do, because their population is old. The population here on average is old based upon Caucasians, and well, they're the majority still. Even though our population is younger, and you would think it would continue to get younger, but once again, the conspiracy, Kwanzaa Kanjufu, the conspiracy to destroy black boys. Once again, it's not a conspiracy if it's happening. It's happening. Mass incarceration, homosexuality, drug addiction, instilling self-hatred, going with wanting females outside of our culture group, wanting Latinos, wanting Asians, wanting Caucasians, as opposed to beautiful sisters, a woman just like your mama. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, my main conspiracy, I'm going to talk about that after the break. To me, it ain't no conspiracy. If you say these conspiracies like, you know, Bigfoot, you know, Sasquatch, same thing. The Abominable Snowman, Loch Ness Monster, you know. These are conspiracies. Yeah. In fact, the conspiracy, you know, I'm not going to read too much because my eyes are hurting. I need to get my glasses, man. Glasses broke on me, family. Yeah. A secret agreement to do something harmful and lawful. An act of plotting with others to do something harmful and lawful. A group of conspirators, you know, to take over something, you know, to plot something harmful, to kill somebody. But also too, to bring something, a conspiracy that happened that you think is one way, but it's really another. Yeah. Conspiracy. A crime. Yeah, conspiracy. The conspiracy to destroy black boys. I don't know if you remember when that book came out many years ago. Have to say the late 80s or 90s. The 90s when that book came out with Kwanzaa Kanjufu. In fact, I was in Chicago. I heard him in Chicago. He was in Milwaukee. I heard him there, you know. And, you know, of course, the main thing to fight that is education that is controlled by us. That's the main thing. The main thing to deal with all that we're going through is education that is controlled by us. Education that instills in us the knowledge of ourselves, the knowledge of our ancestors, that rejects everything that has happened to us prior, that rejects all things that have been done, whether it's Christianity, we reject it, Islam, we reject it, we reject all religious thing, anything that the Caucasian has tried to impose upon us, we reject it. His systems, we reject all of that. That's the bottom line. We reject it. We don't even entertain the idea. We don't even give a damn thought about we can modify this, or you know, we can influence it. You know, we can change it. No. Don't even just kick that shit to the curb, and let's move on. I'm a go ahead and get off into these songs. You know, so when I come back, we can have some good conversation. A whole bunch of y'all are already in the queue, which is cool, you know. Yes, and this is my last program, so I'm leaving town on Friday. Won't be back until Monday the 24th. Monday the 24th. Yeah. I got to see some people going to Milwaukee, people getting married and all kind of good stuff. Yeah. I'm going to play some couple of cuts from soundtracks. Two of them. Two good movies. Two of my favorite. I don't know if you haven't seen Claudine, if you haven't seen it in a while. The soundtrack is outstanding. Gladys Knight and the Pips and Curtis Mayfield and Claudine, James Earl Jones and Diane Carroll. Oh man, it's a great movie. Great movie. Lawrence Hilton Jacobs before he was on Welcome Back Carter. Yeah. It's a great movie, but great soundtrack. Great soundtrack. Aside from the main one is a lot of other nice pieces. Then the other one we're going to play, Car Wash, one of my favorites. Another great soundtrack. There's some good cuts on there. Played throughout the movie. The idea of Car Wash, great movie as far as I'm concerned. So we're going to play those two and have some fun. Yeah. So, yeah. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at TimeForAnAwakening@gmail.com.
I got a happy crowd. so sanctified. You don't have to be for me. No superstar. I love you just the way you are. So won't you make yours a happy home? Make yours a happy home. I wanna do you back. Look your eyesight. I wanna be what pleases you. So long as there is peace with you, that's all I can do. So let us make yours a happy, happy home. Make yours a happy home. We can do it. Oh, we can do it now, baby.
Work and work.
Well, those cars never seem to stop coming.
Work and
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, we're listening to, or you are listening to, we are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and Black Talk Radio Network. Other program we have here on Mondays, Black Therapy Central from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Dr. Kamal Kamban and their daughter, Nataki Kamban. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. On Thursdays, from 7 to 8, Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move. And then on Fridays, if it's 8 p.m. and it's Eastern Time, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Friday. Saturday from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Yeah, family. So, conspiracy theories. What's yours? When you got any conspiracy theories? What's they call them? False flag operations. You know, got any false flag operations? Yeah. Like I said, my main one is of course 9/11. As a firefighter, and it's, as somebody who, you know, was up in that situation and looking at the things that happen as they continue to happen, just did not sit well for me from the beginning. You know, then 9/11 truth. Actually, what came out first was In Plain Sight. In Plain Sight. And that came out early. That was not a long time later. That came out, I bet you it came out within the next few months after the incident. And then, of course, Richard Gage, Architects for 9/11 Truth. I could not find anything for my preparation of the program in September, for September 11th, with Richard Gage. Only thing I saw with Richard Gage was his presentation in written, it wasn't video, to the Nation of Islam, to Savior's Day. He was invited by Minister Farrakhan, you know. And of course, the European Jews, because he was invited by Farrakhan, he wasn't going to be on Facebook. He wasn't going to be on YouTube. He wasn't going to be on none of that. He wasn't going to be on none of that. And so the prevailing idea and wisdom of the even popular mechanics, you know, the government, the commission on 9/11, that's what was put out there. No rebuttal. You know, I did see some Jesse the Body Ventura, you know, the former governor of Minnesota, the former wrestler. He had some stuff out there. The brother from the last few years, couldn't find him. The firefighter, the elder, brother retired, couldn't find him. So to challenge what the U.S. 9/11 Commission put out and all those others who support that idea, here it is now, 21 years. 21 years. And every year now, as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to put it out there always. Because if there ever was a false flag, you know, if there ever was a false flag operation, hmm,
That was it. That was it.
Or this is it, because it's still happening.
You know, I always say, too, that I'll give you the World Trade Center, the planes that hit it, bringing the two towers down. I'll give you that. I'll give you building number 7 about 4 or 5 hours later that crumbled. Actually, it's just a perfect. I mean, no, I'm sorry, man. I saw some fat dude. I ain't getting on by fat because I'm kind of that to my damn self. So, but anyway, I saw some dude talking about how the fire jumped on that building number 7, which is like a block and a half or so away, I believe, 2 blocks at the most, and jumped on that building, and the fire compromised the structure, compromised the beam, and you see that building fall like a demolition in its own footprint. You see it fall. I'll give you that. I'll give you that these cats were flying in the plane at 35,000 feet using cell phones. And cell phones were not prevalent in 2001. Now, understand, they did have those phones on the back of the seat. You know, if you're facing, you know, on the other side of the seat, they had a phone that you could use. I'm not sure, you know, that put some kind of code or credit card in. I don't know. Never used it. But they're calling relatives, talking about, you know, we being hijacked. I love you and so forth. And then when you be safe and... Here we go, you know. They bum rush the cockpit, give the Arabs a beat down, and the plane crashes in a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Don't see a lot of debris, do you? So it must have crashed at such an angle that the plane just went into the earth. But you can never. Ever make me believe that a plane in the Washington, D.C. area, and I'm quite sure there's cameras everywhere. One guy told me, well, you're not allowed to film. No, there's cameras all around the goddamn Pentagon. I ain't saying that you can film. No, I understand that. But there's cameras all around the Pentagon. I'm quite sure a camera all around the Pentagon could have filmed a plane approaching it. Flying so fast and so low that when the nose of that plane hit the Pentagon, the plane disintegrated. Totally. No wings, no engines, no tails, not even a damn black box. And it just so happens to be in the area where the finances are, where, of course, Rumsfeld, a day or so before, talked about the billions of dollars that were missing. Or was it trillions? I don't know. Billions, trillions, whatever. Money that was missing from the Pentagon budget or whatever. They did with it, whatever, how people got paid off in it. So, yeah. Yeah. But you see a hole around the building. The parapet wall came later, but right initially. And the only thing that you see, if you go online, if you go to YouTube and you say Pentagon, 9/11 Pentagon, all you see is a flash of light. All you see is a flash of light. 215, good afternoon. 215.
Good afternoon, Baba Oshi.
Hey, Brother T, how are you doing, dear brother? How are you today? Thank you for all the things, brother, that you sent me, man. I appreciate you, brother. I really do.
You are welcome. One thing I learned is that the Almighty teaches that those who think that they have knowledge and they hold it to themselves, they believe that they are better than the people and that they can control the people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to share. But how are you today?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. I'm trying to get myself in the frame of mind and do some things around here because I'm leaving town. I'm going to Milwaukee tomorrow and visiting fans, family and friends and weddings and that are happening, a number of things that are happening. So I'll be in Milwaukee a few days, checking on a few things as well. And, you know, so I'm doing good. I feel good. Much better than I did last year when I went to Milwaukee around this time. That's for sure.
Well, that's great. I want you to talk to your family and, you know, try to explain to them what's going on and, you know, smile, be yourself, because you never know when you're going to see anybody again. Life is so short, especially with these demons have planned coming up to this election. You might not be able to travel again. And I wanted to add on that 9/11 thing something. There's a few things I never put in when I talked to you before. But okay. That Shanksville airplane thing.
Right.
For one, what you can't find anymore is that the family members of those that was on that plane made calls to their family before they boarded the plane. They were taken off the plane and disappeared before the plane even left. You can't even find that anymore. That plane had nobody on it. That's why, like you said, there was no bodies or anything found, because the family members called their family and said something weird is going off. They're taking us off the plane and taking us to an unknown location. Now, my other conspiracy is the Holmesburg Prison conspiracy in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, that no one believed. I had family members that were locked up in Holmesburg Prison and experimented on. Oh, no, it never happened. Now, all of a sudden, Philadelphia is offering services and things to survivors, and they're acknowledging that there is experimentation conducted on prisoners. So they're still doing that. That's a big conspiracy that's been going on forever.
Yeah.
Now, down to the fluoride in the water.
Yeah.
That is a big conspiracy. On the back of your toothpaste, it tells you don't swallow the damn toothpaste. Come on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
I sound like the Pedo Biden. Come on, man. Fluoride in the water?
Yeah.
And now let me go down to the COVID-19. You notice they took the 19 out of it, because COVID-19 consisted of eradication of 19 ethnicities. It was designed specifically to target certain ethnicities, and it did its job. It was never meant to stop people from getting COVID, as the Pfizer people announced on the thing I sent you yesterday, right, that it was never designed.
Right, right.
All of these people, my family members. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
No. In fact, I like to play that piece for the listeners. That's a good piece. I listened to it. I was like, yeah, I see that. Let me play that piece right quick, okay?
Okay, yeah, brother.
Okay.
This is a significant admission by Pfizer, is it not?
Yes, it is. I think it's the first time that that someone admitted this, and it was an important question. I asked this question also to AstraZeneca and Moderna, but they made a workaround, and they didn't give me an answer. But Pfizer was very clear in speaking out, and I think it's important because of this narrative. You have to do it to protect your grandparents, and you do it for others, you do it for all of society, all the messages that was brought by all the governments here in the West. Because of that, the Corona Pass was introduced, and it had a significant impact on people's lives. There were people who were not able to work, who lost their job, people who lost their businesses, families were divided, and also friends. I think it's, and now it seems to be a disinformation from our government, our governments.
Yeah. Well, if you just to look at those governments, you'll remember that Monsieur Macron in France said he wanted to emmerder the unvaccinated, which is a rather rude word that approximates to the English. He wanted to really piss them off. If you look at Canada, for example, if you were unvaccinated, you were forbidden from getting on an aeroplane or a train. Some German states, you were forbidden from going to the supermarket to buy food to keep yourself alive. And it appears that this lady from Pfizer is now saying at the time they introduced this, they never had any evidence that it would stop transmission of the virus. So where did all these governments get the idea to tell us you can't go anywhere if you're unvaccinated?
Well, yeah, that is exactly what I was looking for, because I'm searching for this answer for 2 years now. And because it had such an impact on people's life, I really wanted to know. And, well, yeah, where is this coming from? It seems to be disinformation from our government. So, well, this is really something that... the people who are responsible for this, in my opinion, if the impact was huge on people's lives, I think these people should be held responsible.
Well, we've heard all this talk. I mean, as I'm sure you know, and you've been exposed to it as well, that if you question anything you're told by the government, people say you're not following the science. The lady from Pfizer basically just told you that there's no science behind any of these statements, that when people say you can't go into a restaurant and have a cup of coffee if you're unvaccinated, that that's just something that a government made up out of it, basically pulled it out of its own bottom and inflicted it on society.
Yes, exactly. Follow the science, and we still see that on all the social media. If you make a post about, I'm in this COVID committee, so I try to inform people by showing them the questions and the answers. We do not really get real answers, but this was exceptional and a very important one. But if you make a post about COVID and about real questions you ask, you immediately get a sign beneath your post about COVID, this COVID warning. They also removed me. I was canceled from LinkedIn by exposing just simple questions. So it's still going on. And especially that it was, that there is no scientific basis for this narrative. I think it's, for me, it was really surprising that I received this answer, but it's very necessary that it has come out. We should never have any COVID passport again based on this so-called science.
Yeah, the science. Yeah, I appreciate that, Brother T.
Yes, sir. And let me tell you, what's his name? Rat-faced Fauci just gave, I think, $5 million to Wuhan and the United States, a little bit more, to start developing more. Isn't that crazy? I mean, I feel like I'm all alone. I must be going crazy. So this devil kills people, first of all, with AIDS. Then he comes back with the swine flu and kills people. Then they do it with COVID, and he gets a freaking raise.
Yeah.
He gets to retire and gets $5 million plus his salary for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
I called and talked to, tried to, every representative in the state of Pennsylvania, the vice president, the president, the surgeon general. Nobody responded, not even the mayor. I wanted to meet him on live TV or radio and debate his ass. No response. We drew up letters to send to the Surgeon General. To send the Surgeon General. And the Surgeon General didn't respond because it puts him in danger of being locked up
for his following all of those years.
Mm-hmm.
So these people did the worst conspiracy theory and killed more than 20 million people and still licking their lips for more.
Yeah, globally. Yeah.
So to me,
I mean, you know, one of the things is that what we must understand is that in order for this to happen the way it happens, Caucasians have to die too. If it was just killing us like they really would like that to happen, you know, that's too obvious. So when you get a mass of people, and of course the Caucasians that died, they were already old. They already had preconditions and so forth. But when you get younger people dying, whose immune systems are much stronger and so forth, and people who are more health conscious, but still they're dying. That's got to, you know, signal an alarm that says to you, I need to look into this even deeper.
Well, listen, when we had a plant, Breyer's Ice Cream, had listeria and killed a few people, I think four or five people died, to shut the whole plant down and stop the production.
Right.
So when COVID happened, now the papers are coming out. It's hard to be found, but if you look long enough, you can find it. It stated that the first week when they gave it out to people, 1,000 people died. 1,000. You're supposed to stop it right then and there.
With the vaccine?
And most of the people who you saw on TV that fell over, they're no longer here. You can't find them anymore. You know, what's worse to me is my family members and friends that took it and died. And the people I told not to take it, I told them, I have an infectious disease certification. I work with OSHA. I've been doing this for years. Listen to me. No, I don't have the right hue. I don't have a degree in medical science. So they wouldn't listen to me. Still today, I tell people, why are you wearing a mask? Oh, so I don't want people all over my face and I don't want to get COVID or all this stuff. I said, well, you're going to get something because your filter, you're covering your filter of your body, which is your lifeline. So you're going to get something. And it's going to be bacterial pneumonia because you're wearing a Petri dish on your face.
Yeah.
And smoking.
Because you're exhaling. You're exhaling into the mask and then rebreathing it, you know? Yeah.
That's right. With food particles.
Yeah.
So, as you know, their conspiracies don't stop there. There's some that we don't even know about. But right now, the biggest conspiracy is there's no world war going on right now. And they started it and planned it 6 years ago with Obama, moved on to Biden. And they all talked about how they want to overthrow it because they are neo-Nazis over there. It's the search and control of Eurasia from the big news, Zabrinsky's book, The Grand Chess Game. They announced it years ago that they need to take Eurasia because once they get into Eurasia, they can build a fortress that's impenetrable, that no one could ever get to them, and they can rule for the rest of humans' lives to do what they want and send these robots out. Peace and blessings unto you and to the listeners. Yeah. I hope everyone's well, and I hope everyone treats their family and people that they come across with dignity, respect, and compassion, because you never know when you're going to see anyone else again. God bless you, Baba.
You too.
And thanks again. And don't forget, send me the information about where to donate.
Okay, my brother. I sure will. I have Brother Quake. He'll do that.
And you give Wes my phone number, too.
Okay. I sure will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Santa Sana, man. Peace. Yeah, man. Brother T. Poof. Yeah. Brother Paul.
How are you doing, Baba Ochi?
I am doing well, man. I'm doing well. You sound good on that platform. It sounds real clear. Well, it sounded clear the other day. Here is kind of a little echo, but it sounds good.
Well, you know, Baba, I'm trying to tweak this and I'm trying to tweak that. But at the end of the day, we're working with technology which does not belong to us. We have no control over. So sometimes we just got to grin and bear.
Yeah, but it's sounding good, so keep it up. That's for sure. How do I sound?
No, you sound absolutely clear. You're coming through clear.
Okay,
absolutely.
Good. Yeah, I'm talking about conspiracies today, man, and I know you have sent me a lot of good stuff on what's happening.
Yeah, well, I'd like to just define some stuff for some listeners who may not fully understand where you're going with this.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I just looked it up and I knew it was similar. I had a legal background. I was involved in law. I studied law. And one of the things we learned is what a conspiracy is in English law.
Okay.
Because, and some of the cases I sat on, in actual fact, the first cases I was involved in, the first cases I had a legal background, I was involved in law.
Hello? Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, sorry. The first cases I was involved on was to do with armed robbery. What they call career criminals, people who organize themselves to rob banks.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very interesting for me, because it opened my eyes coming out of school as a young man, sitting on those type of cases in what we call it the Crown Court, the Old Bailey. The Old Bailey is the number one court in England for criminal. If you're a murderer, or you're an armed robber or something very serious, you're going to go to the Old Bailey. That's no matter where you are in the country, you'll end up in the Old Bailey. So one of my first cases I sat on was an armed robbery case. And, they were described as career criminals. That's what they do for a living, rob banks.
Mm-hmm.
They just rob banks for a living. And the police know them. They know the police. And I just learned so much from that case. And I remember a few of them was up for conspiracy. And what really opened my eyes is that, and what I learned was that those who were up for conspiracy to rob, meaning that the police had been watching their movements, and they done things like got the necessary material to organize to rob a bank. And they were looking at more time than the actual people who were prepared to, who had previous for robbery. That was shocking to me.
Okay.
And in the UK, for instance, the law suggests that if you are, you'll get the same sentence as if you carried out the crime. And I just before, as you was talking, I looked up the law in America, and it's very similar. I think there's slight difference. I think there's leniency if you didn't actually carry out the crime, but you're going to get, but in the UK, it's mandatory. If you do get done for conspiracy to commit a crime, you're going to get done for as if you carried out the crime.
Mm-hmm.
And what the law specifies is that it's a meeting of two or more people. It has to be if it's you on your own. Mm-hmm. If you prepare to carry out a crime on your own, it's the same in America. If you prepare to carry out a crime on your own, you can't be done for conspiracy. But if you agree, and that's another factor, you have to agree, the other person or you have to agree to it. Once mm-hmm. they can prove that you've agreed to it, it becomes a conspiracy. So, if we take that example or that definition, there are many conspiracies, many, many, many. As I understand it, in 1967, the CIA coined the term conspiracy theory. They put the two words together and defined what conspiracy theory mean. They're the ones who put out this idea that, as I understand it, the reason why they put it out, people look at JFK assassination, and asking questions. So if you were inquiring about
Paul, you're breaking up on me again, brother.
Your president who got taken out in public, chief theorist, and that was hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, you broke up on me. You got to state what you said previous about conspiracy theories.
Yeah, I think you got when I said in 1967, the CIA coined the term conspiracy theory.
Right.
They put that term out there for the purpose of closing down any argument which purported to suggest that JFK was killed by government agents. They put that out there, the term conspiracy theory. And it's found its way into the public dialect. It's found its way into the public. And that's what it was meant to do. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that, is it a conspiracy theory that we, who wear this uniform of melanin, was snatched in off the African continent, put in chains, dragged across the sea, and distributed around the West? Is that a conspiracy? Or is that a theory, I should say?
That's a fact.
Well, that's a fact. That's well, we fact. Know that's not a theory.
Right.
We know that's a fact. It definitely was a conspiracy because it was a meeting of more than two
right.
people.
Right.
Definitely a meeting of more than two people.
Yes.
And they did come to an agreement, and the agreement was to go and snatch right. Africans
right.
And distribute them for trade. Yeah.
Right.
So we know that's a conspiracy, but that's not a theory, right?
Exactly.
So the bottom line, what I'm trying to point to, Baba Ochi, is for me personally, I don't get into arguments with anybody about whether it's, you know, conspiracy theory or it's conspiracy fact, because our history, one thing you understand in law is about history. That's what law is about. You can't talk about law without talking about history. Every case they're going to bring to represent their argument is going to be about, it's going to be historical, everything. And when you look at history, right, when you look at our history, you know, or what we term in law in the UK as precedents.
Okay.
Precedents are, what the lawyers use, precedents. So when we look at their precedents, they have a history of barbaric acts. There's a history. It's their precedents. It's not, you know, with the establishment of that country where you call America, we know that they overthrew the indigenous people where they're called Indians.
Right.
And by all nefarious means, you know what I mean? They put them on reservation camps, which better known as concentration camps.
Right.
Scout well, them.
You see they that. Rape. You see what the Europeans have done. Globally, you see
right.
what the Europeans have done when they came out of that dark age.
That is their precedent.
Exactly.
So we don't theory. It's fact. We know what they've done. So the bottom line is they have a history. There's a history of psychopathic and psycho. It's written in there. It's not written by. It's written by them. They wrote those books.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So the bottom line is anybody questions. And for anybody to question what they're capable of doing, whether they're capable of blowing up towers and killing people, whether they're capable of the Titanic sinking ships for insurance purposes and claiming that it hit an iceberg.
Right.
Poisoning people, giving people under the cause of medication.
Well, you're breaking up on really bad, Paul. You're really
then
breaking.
When the purpose of it is to depopulate.
Okay, go ahead.
What I'm saying is, whether they're giving people medication and claiming that it's in their benefit, when in reality, the population, you know, it's not the first time.
No, it's not the first time, and it is systemic. It is systemic. It is consistently, continuously, you know, forms of murder, forms of genocide, forms of, you know. It is who they are. It is what they've done. It's documented.
Absolutely.
You know, that's why when the conspiracy of the Tuskegee Institute first came out.
Right. They documented.
Boy, yo, Paul, why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you hang up and call back, okay? So maybe we can just.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Gatling gun.
Oh man, when they brought in the Gatling gun, when they turned that thing on, they started rotoring, and you could kill about by yourself. One person could kill at least about 20, 30 people. 347. Good afternoon.
Yeah, Oshie, what's going on, bro?
How you doing, dear brother? I'm doing well, Jay.
I'm doing good, man. What's this talk about you going on an extended vacation?
Yeah, I'm going to be gone for a minute again. You know.
Okay. So you going? Is anybody going to fill in for you, like Boogie Woogie Jones and Dr. Rogers?
We'll see. You know, I don't know yet. We'll see. Or maybe just Quake will play some old.
I hope that that happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But listen, Oshi, put me on hold and let me click back on in like 3 minutes.
All right, brother.
All right. I'll click back on in three.
All right. Brother Kwaku, how you doing, man?
Hold on. I'm doing well, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing okay. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we have to get together afterwards.
Let's do that, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do that.
It's been 2 years ago today.
Oh.
On your daughter's birthday that you interviewed Baba Masada.
Oh.
Ah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that after the program.
All right, dear brother. All right. Peace.
Peace.
913. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing good.
Good.
You know, I like your station, and I like the broadcasts that come from there. You know, one thing that stays on my mind is this is just my observations. We explore history. Most of the time, a lot of our observations are based on what has happened.
Okay.
And I'm concerned that we don't often discuss the future that we want to have. Now, I don't think I'm an individual in that idea. I mean, history is what it is. It's things and events and occurrences that we can't change. But we can most certainly navigate ourselves towards a future that even the history would point to us that we need to pursue. Mm-hmm. And I don't hear a lot of discussions or conversation or movements or however you want to categorize it, that talk about what could be and how we could bring it about. Except, you know, we hear this catchphrase, unity, black unity. You know, I could walk down the street right now, and this is might be an exaggeration, but I see 20 people coming in the opposite direction, and I could speak to all of them. And maybe half of them won't even acknowledge me.
Right.
They'll think I'm up to something.
Right.
You know, I'm not a vagabond. You know, I don't carry myself like that. But I'm really speaking more about the communication that we have with each other, and especially what is going to be presented to our children and their children. I mean, it's great. I've got books. You know, I've been a reader since I was 9 years old. I got books that people have offered me lots of money for because they're rare. And I've read things. But I don't have many books on what the possibilities are. I don't hear many discussions about what we could do as even a partially unified. Well, there's no such thing as partial unification. You either are or you're not. But even if we segment ourselves into different directions.
I don't hear many discussions about what we can do.
Are you still there?
I'm here. Go ahead. I had to mute somebody. Yeah, I had to mute somebody because the background is going to be kind of tough.
Well,
go ahead.
What do you think about that? What do you think about that? I mean, we don't put a lot of emphasis on the future.
Right.
And that disturbs me because I get the feeling that a lot of people don't think we're going to make it into what is currently the future from this point where we're at now.
Right. Well, look at when you look at what's happening and they say that, you know, and particularly if you look at what's happening based upon what white folks are presenting, then you're right. It doesn't look good at all, you know, because their idea is dystopian, very very dull, very drab, you know, a lot of drudgery, a lot of things that are happening that are not good, you know. And so that's what you see, you know. And as a consequence,
it doesn't make it at all, you know, because it is dystopian.
Yeah, I got to mute you for the time now, brother Paul, and so therefore it doesn't talk about the future in a way that, I mean, the idea people talk about the future here in the United States is that eventually all these divisions, all this stuff will subside and we will come together as a United States. Bullshit. That's not happening, and it's
that's
not,
right. It never was, it because it never was intended to.
Exactly, because it was never intended to happen. It, lip service at best to that idea. And so as far as I'm concerned, the mm-hmm. best mode and idea for the future is a collective mm-hmm. unity with African people on the continent and in the diaspora. Now, that's
a tall order. But wouldn't that require
order.
A declaration? I mean, I'm just trying to catch these.
Well, you know, to some degree. And that's the discussion with the Pan-African Federalist Movement. They're trying to develop a declaration based on an agreement with and understanding of with African countries, the majority of them, and Africans in the diaspora, saying this is because we catch hell not because we're Episcopalians or Buddhists or Church of God in Christ or Muslims. You know, or Mega Psi Phi or Delta Sigma Theta. We don't catch hell because of none of that. We catch hell not because we're Nigerians or Cameroonians or Cubans. We catch hell because we Africans, because we black. That's why
that's
we
right.
catch hell.
That's right. That's and, right. And that comes well, across well let me add something to what that statement you made. That was profound. We catch hell because white people are the ones who make those decisions.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm speaking yes. about in the future. Because they've got a past, a history of knowing that they can do certain things to segments of the population, and it'll be to their benefit to cause us a grief.
Mm-hmm.
We got to change that. But I don't know that that can even be done by conversations on the radio, though I certainly appreciate speaking with you.
Yeah,
we've got to I sense that we've got to develop a way to communicate with each other where we don't put out our public plans or make our plans public. Mm-hmm. That I think should be one of the top pursuits that those who think like you and I should go after. That we've got technologists who can develop things. You know, I was watching and I don't mean to change the subject at all, and it's really not a change, but I was watching this thing where on YouTube, where these white folks, because that's what they are, or pink folks is really what they are, but they call themselves white folks.
Yeah.
But they've developed a sheath, S-H-E-E-T-H, I believe it's spelled, a blanket that is transparent. They can put it over themselves.
To make themselves invisible?
Make themselves completely invisible. Now that took research, that took study of physics and geography and solar. It took studies.
Imagine what the implications. History. Imagine what the implications for war could be. You have
somebody could come in your house and be sitting in your house and you don't know it.
Then they take
and
the
they're
sheath
watching
off.
You.
They take it off and then they blow your ass away. They hear all that you're saying.
They don't have to take it off.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
See, that's what we're talking about. And that's what I say, like, what is going to occur in the future is going to be determined by what we aspire to in the present.
See, that's what I'm saying is that, you know, there is no plan outside of us for us. The only plan is the plan that we create within ourselves, that we create within us. That's the only plan. Everything outside of us is for our detriment. It's for our elimination. It's for us to be exterminated. You know?
That's right.
See?
That's
so
right.
Yeah, but don't you?
Hey, Jay.
Excuse me.
No, go ahead, Jay.
But, you know, it's a great question that the caller presented. The thing is, in regards to the question, we as a people are still dealing with past grievances. So
in all honesty, we haven't put forward the necessary think tanks to vision our future, to put forward the vision of what direction we should be going as a people. We're really, unfortunately, so fragmented because of our desire to have the grievances that were done to us addressed
by whites,
and the love and the love of our master,
right, by whites,
to be placed upon us, so that our worthiness of continuous support and love for him could then be acknowledged and appreciated. So no, brother, you're absolutely right. We have no mission statement ahead of us or what direction we should go, how we should come together collectively to maybe go back home and build up Africa and take control of the continent and then be able to have control of the resources that rule the world. Nah, we don't even think on that level. Unfortunately,
hold on, Jay, hold on, Jay.
Together the people to do that.
Hold on, Jay, because there is a entity that is thinking on that level, a number of them that are talking about, you know, like the Pan-African Federalist Movement, like the sister, Dr. Arcana and her group, the Diaspora Africans. So there is some movement in that direction, you know, because I think that many of us understand that is the direction that we need to move in. That is the thing that ultimately we must do for our very survival, because there is nobody outside of ourselves that is going to do anything for us but us. I mean, let me catch this caller, Jay. 443-443.
Brother Oshie.
Hey, Brother Irv.
The caller you just had on is absolutely correct. And you're so right, but not a but because avoiding you, but a but because I'm going to add to what you said. We as black people have to understand that we're African first. See, and until white people always talk about the here and now, because if they ever talk about things from a historical perspective, they don't look so good, because they have twisted and whitewashed the history to make themselves look like God told them to take this country, and God told us to be in charge of you, and God told me to tell you. Well, God got my number.
Yeah.
Can God give me a call? Because I got call ID. If it's, I might be God, I'm going to click over.
Yeah.
But what we do is we let them let us live in the here and now. And we can live here, but we have to look at things from a historical perspective. And they don't want to look at that. And if we don't know we're African, we're never going to get anywhere. I'm American. Yep. I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. I'm a Delta. I'm a whatever. You're an African. You're black. And so I think Oshie's absolutely correct. Correct. This internet is a trump card. More people are listening to us right now than would have ever listened to us 20 years ago in a room in a basement.
No doubt about that.
Have this internet.
Yeah.
Come on now. It's happening. It's happening. It may not be happening fast enough or in my lifetime, but it is happening, because what we got now is killing us, and that ain't nothing but the truth.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Well, I will say this, and y'all, I appreciate your comments too, brother. We got to develop a system, a communication system that does not include their input.
Exactly.
I think that should be our number one priority, developing a way to communicate with each other of like mind, where these devils don't get to know what we're going to do before we do it. That's literally like playing a chess game. You take your queens, your rooks, your everything off, and all you got is pawns. And you know what I'm saying? Anytime they know what you're going to do, they put together a program kill it.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word, to use it against you. You're absolutely right.
The Proud Boys got one. Proud Boys got one. The Trumpers got one. They got communication. They talk to each other. Yeah. They all knew to be there on the 6th. I didn't get the message, but everybody else did.
But them Proud Boys and Oath Keepers are now paying a heavy price, but the dot that haven't been played yet is the fact that Trump set them up, that he used them. And the bottom line is, when the people wake up
from being used, it's going to be something a little more different than we think it is, because at some point in time, you got to wake up from being asleep. And when they wake up from being asleep and see how they're being used and manipulated, I think they become more dangerous. Because not only do they have issues with me and you and others, they also now go have issues with those who led them to the path of having to spend 10 and 20 years in jail based on madness. Because now you got to sit down and do what? Start thinking about what led you to this predicament. And believe me, if they thought about doing what they did on January 6th, think about what they'll think about once they wake up and see how they got conned and played on June 6th.
And Brother Jay, if we can get through 400 years of slavery and through the Civil War and through World War I, World War II, we can get through some Proud Boys and some more crackers. I'm not afraid of anybody or anything because I'm not afraid to die. And that's the most scariest man in the world, a man who's not afraid to die.
The bottom line
is, all white folks threaten you with is death. Let's be clear. So I'm not afraid of these crackers. And they're not going to like you anyway. So let's get together, do what we got to do for self and kind, and keep it moving.
The bottom line is, you can't.
We got to pursue ways to communicate with each other that do not expose our plans.
Right.
You know, our people, African people, when they were they brought people from many places other than Africa as well during slavery. But they, one of the first things these devils did was made it a capital offense to use a drum.
Right.
To use a
cut
drum.
Off any because cut off they any could communication.
They could not understand the language of the drum. They knew it was a communication product, and they could not develop any technology in their time that could decipher what was being said, and that was a capital offense. They killed many people.
But see, that's
because we could communicate, and they didn't know what we had planned.
See,
that is why I say that should be our number one, if not number one. Got to be at the top of the pursuit.
Understand
What we aspire to.
Understand the drum. Pretty much was utilized in the Caribbean and in South America. The drum was outlawed, as you said, my brother, and you're correct.
Yes, sir.
In the States. Any
it
means of communication.
Offense. It wasn't just a jail term. They cut your head off.
Any ability to communicate with each other was outlawed, was a no-go, and could bring you punishment, even death. You know, because you are not allowed to communicate. And our problem today is that we can do that, but because that has been instilled in us, that kind of fear has been instilled in us, that we don't do it. Could it be utilized? Right. I'm already up past that, but I'm going to give each of you guys some closing statements or remarks, so I can go ahead and get up out of here. Go ahead, my brother, that 913. Go ahead. Give me some closing remarks.
Well, yes, sir. And I appreciate your patience with me because a lot of times when I mention things like this to people, it's like I can tell they just don't understand. It's not that I'm smarter than any of them. I just got a perspective of life. I mean, I'm sitting here in my porch, and I see some birds. They don't pay taxes. They eating, so they're well. You know, they don't have military other than their own natural self-defense mechanism. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying we are living lower than animals because we are allowing these people. And like the brother made the point, you got to be willing to die. We're all going to die one day.
Oh, yeah.
So if I got to die, and since I'm going to die, then let it be for something that's worthy. Let it be as a step on a ladder towards a goal that I may never, ever, ever even envision it, much less visit it. But let it be a step along the path that will bring us back to being human beings instead of subservient slaves in a system that means us no good, no way, no how.
I say. Thank you. Brother Irv, go ahead.
Brother Oshie, thank you for letting me speak. I really appreciate it. I agree with everything the brother just said. We are behind enemy lines. We are at war. Let's stop telling them our plan. Let's form our communication. He's absolutely right. And let's realize that these people mean us no good.
They want us to be – this is genocidal things that is happening with the homosexuality and the drugs and the proliferation of guns and the meanness that we have in us and the I-ness. The I-ness is getting me. I don't know if that's a word, but that individualism is killing black people.
Yep.
So, no, I agree with him. All power to the people, but let's keep fighting. Keep talking, keep doing, keep fighting. Thank you, my brother.
Right on, right on. Brother Jay, 347.
Hey, man, I just agree with both of the brothers and what they're saying. And, you know, all we can do is continue to move forward. And it'll click. It has to click because the conditions are what's going to make it click. You know, hopefully it won't be too much longer because this ain't getting no better, man.
Okay.
So hold up and listen. Everyone enjoy this day.
Right on, brother. Thanks, Jay. Hey, Baba, 505. Baba, you got something to say? Baba? Okay. Paul, you got some? Paul, go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. A great conversation, Baba Ochi. I'll just say this, you know. John Henry Clark gives a fantastic deliberation of what our history is. And for me, history is a map. And it basically, it dictates your future. And if you don't understand that map and you don't know how to navigate that map, you'll be making the same mistakes in the future. Take care.
That's right. That's right. I say. Thank you. Brother Kwaku, you got the last word, my brother. My brother,
well,
my friend.
Excellent program. I certainly appreciate the callers. I'd like to reach out to their brother in Kansas City and let them know that there's some work is being done. And I'd like to reach out to him. What's your name, brother?
Oh, he just jumped off.
Well, no, I'm still here.
No, he's still here. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I'm just listening.
Yeah.
My name is Rick. But Rick. That's, you know.
Right Rick, on, brother yeah. Rick. Oh, man,
okay,
I appreciate
so
you calling.
I'll be reaching out to you, Brother Rick. I want to pass on some information to you.
Okay. I don't know how you're going to be able to do that, but what do you want to take after you leave or leave my number with him or something?
No, I got your number, brother.
Okay. All right.
I'll reach out to you.
Very good.
All right. Okay. All right, my family, my friends, good program. Good program, and I appreciate all those who've called, and there's some who did call and hung up, and of course there's other listeners. We appreciate you, man, so much. I thank you, brothers.
Appreciate you, brother.
Right on. Have a good day. Have a good day and a good week, and I'll see you back on the 24th. Don't know who might be sitting in. We'll try to find somebody to sit in while I'm gone, if that's possible, but if not, Brother Kwaku got a few programs that he'll like to present to you, so there will be something happening on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. This Friday and next week at the same time slot, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Habibi Fahde. Fahde means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day and a good weekend. Thanks, family. Peace.
Hey, yo,
yo, yo, yo. Thank you, brothers.
Quake Poo, what's up, man? Good.